Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to De'Longhi conference call. The CEO, Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, and the investor relator, Mr. Fabrizio Micheli, will present you 2012 first quarter results. A question and answer session will follow the presentation. Now, I hand you over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everybody. Very quickly, on the main results for the quarter. Net sales up 10.4%, reaching 317 million for the first quarter. EBITDA, before non-recurring items, up to 42.8 million, and also EBIT, before non-recurring items, up at 35 million, 7.5% higher than previous year. Net profits also up to 22.7 million from 19.5 million one year earlier, up approximately 17%. Improvement also for the net financial position, now is positive for approximately 94 million, improving 48 million in the last 12 months on an adjusted base. Very good results for the group in the first quarter. We had already announced expectation for a positive growth in the first quarter, but we have delivered very stronger results than earlier anticipated, despite a very difficult market situation. The group has improved its market share in most of the markets where the group competes, and is really fighting in a difficult context, particularly in the Mediterranean area, where Portugal, Spain, and Greece, but also Italy, are very tough. Also stronger slowdown in France. Better situation in Western Europe, where still we see positive signs in Germany and the Netherlands, as an example. And still, nice growth in Eastern Europe, led by a very strong, very buoyant market in Russia and also positive development in Ukraine. Other international markets are positive, but again, the growth rates we are experiencing today are far from the market growth rate we used to experience one year earlier or even two years ago. So definitely, strong results for the group, but in a quite complex market condition. We had also positive development across the different product lines. We are still sustained in our growth by very good results of our coffee makers, mainly Lattissima Plus, but also stronger development for our fully automatic coffee makers. Coffee is growing approximately 15% year-on-year for the group, so still above average. We have also an acceleration in other food preparation and kitchen products, also growing above average, where we are now experiencing a lower growth rate, but still growth at stand mixers for Kenwood, while we are assisting on a very soft beginning of the season for our air conditioning business. But overall, was largely expected and also was already incorporated in our forecast, so no surprise on that side. So I would say that positive development for the core products for the group. On top of difficult markets, we still see pressure on margins. Although we are pleased with the ability of our sales team to pass on the cost increase to the market through price increase, through mix improvements, and also with the support of new product launches, we still are a little bit far behind our original plan. And as you might have seen, we have some erosion at gross margin level, which is a bit unusual for De'Longhi, or has been unusual in the last in many last quarters for the group. The raw materials are still very high. The exchange rates are against in the cost of goods sold, and therefore we will have to continue to pass on to the market the price, the cost increase we're suffering through mix, through price increase. And but see, we're still lagging a little bit behind that. But thanks to the growth, thanks to the strong growth, the group has improved EBITDA, approximately 3 million on a non-recurrent excluding the non-recurring costs. I want also to underline that margin, EBITDA margin, could have been a bit better, but the group has continued to invest strongly in its core products, in the core markets. And we have increased our advertising pressure and our promotional activities in excess of 3 million versus 3 million euro versus year before. This also to sustain, again, our goals to improve our market position in the future in the core product categories and in the core markets. Slightly higher amortization, financial costs a little bit lighter, and also some improvement also on the tax rate. All together resulting in an improvement for the net profit from the year before, say jumping from 19 million to very close to 23 million. Positive also development in the net financial position. We have been able to improve our financial position at the end of first quarter. Now we have approximately 94 million euro cash, including approximately 13 million in fair value. So then you have to account for this. But anyhow, we have generated cash despite a very expensive quarter for the company in terms of investments. I would remind you that we have completed or almost completed our new facility in China with a stronger cost in the quarter cash expense in the quarter, cash out for the quarter. And also we have paid approximately 10 million euro for the new facility in Romania. To provide us with potential incremental production capacity for our growth kitchen products and coffee makers in Europe and Eastern Europe in the future. Probably some further words should be given to the working capital. Here we see inventory still a little bit higher than desirable because of, say, the high inventory levels we still have in the United States. We think that we should be able to cure this by the year end. We'll take probably a few more months. But again, also we have to underline that credits are higher, partly because we are growing, but also partly because in some cases the average payment terms are a little bit longer in some markets, often due to customer mix. We tend to see that very often the stronger customers with longer payment terms are gaining market share, and this is also affecting our working capital. This is not reflecting a higher risk profile, it's just reflecting a different customer mix in the major different markets. Maybe also we should underline that we had some selling on some air conditioning products that were completed by December last year, particularly in Brazil, and the payment terms were long on that. So we're still also suffering for that, but by the end of June, we should realign also this. All in all, I would say that positive development on the financial side, and these were the inventory issue in the United States and the credit issue in certain markets were already anticipated or were also expected by management. Lately, developments, April was definitely softer, and I would now expect probably a flattish quarter for the second quarter, and then hopefully some improvements in the third quarter, not necessarily for market improvements, but also for an easier comparison versus 2011. I remind you that in the second quarter we had a double-digit growth, while in the third quarter last year we had a flat quarter, and then we will have again a more difficult comparison in the fourth quarter, where we grew, last year we grew at approximately 12%. Having said so, we still continue to expect a growth rate in line with what already anticipated, above 5% for the year. I have nothing to add at the time being, and I leave the session open for Q&A. Thank you.
The Q&A session is now open. You can register for your question pressing star followed by one. First question comes from Mr. Jacopo Maiocchi from Deutsche Bank. Mr. Maiocchi, your question please.
Yes, good afternoon to everybody. The first question, if you can clarify a bit on the guidance. You said you confirm a plus 5% on the top line, and as for EBITDA, the initial guidance was plus 10% according to your rule of thumbs of EBITDA growing twice as much as top line, if you still see this for the full year. And in Q2, you said flattish. I have not understood at what level, if it's on sales or on EBITDA. And that's it for the moment. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for the question. I will take the opportunity to clarify. I reiterated our goal to grow top line at 5% plus, and hopefully to deliver an EBITDA with the rule of thumb that you have said at approximately 10% growth of EBITDA. Obviously, we are still a little bit behind now in terms of EBITDA improvement. I hope that in the second quarter we will improve further and close the gap in terms of gross margin for the group, and having then go back to our traditional ability to deliver a faster, twice as fast growth at EBITDA level. What I would say is that for the second quarter, I expect to be probably the toughest quarter for the year, and I expect it to be flattish in terms of top line.
Man.
Again, in principle, we are not too worried about the quarterly performance, and we still believe that in terms of yearly performance, we should be in line with what we had anticipated before, to grow above 5%.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Luca Bacoccoli from Banca IMI. Mr. Bacoccoli, your question, please.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Just a couple of questions. The first one relates to the gross margin in Q1. If you could give us an idea of the main drivers behind the small decline in profitability at that level. And the second one, it seems that you are pretty sure to realign the gross margin during the coming quarters. And if you can share with us the main driver which you think could help you to recover what you are missing in the first part of the year. So, for example, price action already taken and further action to be implemented or things like that. Thank you.
Okay, so for the first question was why we are down in terms of gross margin. Okay, the main negatives are the cost, the higher cost of raw materials versus first quarter 2011. And we have also some exchange rate impact, but offset by our hedging policy. So the impact was because of the higher raw materials that have not been fully reverted to the market through mix or price increase. About the second half or the second quarter and the second half, we have already in place actions in the markets for increasing prices where possible or mix changes in order to improve the margins for the company. We should deliver some further and close the gap already in the second quarter. In the second quarter, we should be able to close further the gap. I'm not at this moment. I'm not yet fully certain that we will be able to fully close it. It's possible we will deliver further improvement in this direction. And very likely we will fully close the gap in the second half.
Okay, is this assuming raw material prices remain at the current level, or are you assuming going down maybe in the second part of the year?
No, we're assuming still stable raw materials. Stable raw materials.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Filippo Prini, your question, please.
Good afternoon to everybody. Still again, a question on pricing. Can you share with us the more or less which is the average increase of price that you are going to pass on to the market? And also related to that, considering that some competitors have already increased the prices, could you give us an indication of about the market reception after this repricing? Thank you.
I'm sorry, I have to apologize, but the line was a bit disturbed. If you could repeat the question.
First one on the possible percentage of increase of price, if you can share with us this indication. And the second, also on prices, considering that some competitors have already increased the prices in the first quarter, could you give an indication about market reception after this move? Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. About the price increase, approximately the price increase was around 2%, from 2 to 2.5%. It was not just pure price increase; it was also mix improvement. We have I'm not sure that all our customers have fully passed yet the price increase. We certainly see that, particularly in the most critical markets like Italy, Spain, and France, it's more difficult to pass on the price increases, and also the strategy in improving the mix are not always delivering the expected results. In principle, I'm prudent. I'm sufficiently optimistic about delivering the full mix and price increase, as said before. Although I also outlined that we are still behind, even if not dramatically, because again the margin is down, but is down versus year before. Approximately 0.6%, which is still a gap that we want to close, but it's not a huge gap. So I think with if we improve our mix by 1% or price mix by 1%, we will be enough to go back to the normal gross profitability for the group.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next question comes from Mr. Domenico Ghilotti from Equita. Mr. Ghilotti, your question, please.
Good afternoon. I have three questions. The first is on the savings on operating costs that you are mentioning in the press release. So if you can elaborate a little bit more on what are these kind of savings and what can be the impact going forward. The second question is on the outlook for the second quarter. If you can just give us some flavor on what's going on in the different areas, different markets. And the third question is on the tax rate, given the very low tax rate in Q1, what could be the sustainable level for the full year?
Okay. So the first question was about a statement on the savings. Okay. Yes. This is coming from some internal reporting. Is more mainly related to the fact that some of the cost of labor, non-industrial cost of labor, has been reduced in terms of percentage on revenues for the De'Longhi, going down approximately from 10%, 9.9% to 9.6%. And also, we have experienced in the first quarter some improvements or reductions in the cost for transportation and some other variable costs, which went down, the incidence on sales went down respectively from 3.2% to 2.7%, speaking about transport costs and other variable costs, which went down from about the incidence from 0.8% to 0.5%. In terms of the second question about the flavor of the market, I have to say that we have a very strong first quarter, and now April is started at a different pace, is more flattish. So that's why also we now have a different outlook in the short term. This is not changing our view in the long term, because also we think that the second quarter is representing probably the toughest comparison for us going forward in 2012.
But it's say generalized all over the market. So are you seeing also a clear slowdown in Germany, for example? It was
No.
Still,
the concerns are still coming from, well, we have a very weak Spain, a very weak Portugal, very weak Italy, very weak.
Okay, so the pattern is still very differentiated.
Enough to worry a little bit about the future. We still have a positive Germany and also a positive Eastern Europe.
Okay.
But we believe that it's wise probably to keep in mind and that there is a potential risk for a slowdown in other markets, not necessarily to get negative, but potentially to get a bit worse. With regards to the tax rate, we think that given the new geography, we have seen a change in the in the weight of the emerging markets, and also we see now the tax rate. Expected tax rate for the group should be around 26-27% going forward,
okay,
which is an improvement versus 2011 full year tax rate.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Andrea Bonfa from Banca Letti. Mr. Bonfa, your question, please.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. I got three questions, essentially. One, if you can elaborate once again on your, extra raw material costs, if these are related essentially to plastic, or what are the materials in particular which are inflationistic from your standpoint? And the second one is if you can elaborate on the pipeline of new products, if you got anything major coming in the next few quarters. And as far as your outlook is concerned, especially for the second half of the year, how much are you counting on the sell-in for heating portable heaters, let's say, given the freeze of the first quarter of this year? And if I may, the last one is on the Romania. What's the final cost for the new plant? You paid 10 million in the first quarter. What do you expect for the full year? Thank you. Bye.
Okay, on raw material, the inflation, the impact on the cost of goods sold of the loan is not due to further inflation to take place in terms of costs on the main raw material. It's just that we have reached the peak, and during the last months, the average cost was helped by some lower cost purchases that were in the inventory of components and of raw materials for the group. So what we are now seeing is that the new peaks of the raw materials will fully impact on our cost of goods sold. But we don't see further pressure now. We see more stability. But due to this dragging effect of the full impact of the increase of the raw material we have experienced in the last 12 months, we still have to offset this higher cost versus year before. The second question you asked is about the pipeline. We have a stronger pipeline of products. We have launched basically end of December and beginning of January the first fully automatic coffee maker that is also making the hot chocolate, mainly in Germany. We will launch another fully automatic coffee maker by year end, which will be probably introduced just after IFA in Germany. Second, we have a new innovative food processor to complete the Kenwood product line, a very high-end food preparation item. Plus, we are now on the preparation phase of a new launch with Nespresso of a new product that is called U, and we will be the deliver to the market in the second half of the year. So we believe that we have not really many new products, but very strong products. Very strong products, and on top of this, I want to remind that this is the first full year for Latissima Plus, which is a very innovative product launched by De'Longhi only in September last year, end of August, September last year, and this is the first full year for the group with this very strong innovation, which is enabling us to really grow our market share further in across Europe and Eastern Europe. The outlook for heating products, we are very careful always now when we speak seasonal products. We don't expect a strong season. We expect an average season, so we don't expect growth year on year, despite we have maybe an easier comparison with last year, and despite we had a nice cleanup of inventory at retail level in the month of February and March. But we still are quite cautious for heating. So we have not incorporated a strong performance of heating in our guidance and in our numbers. With regard to Romania, we are finalizing now the investment for Romania. We expect to invest for the new facility another 5 million euro this year, and then we will continue to invest in 2013. We think that probably we could see investments, incremental investments going forward for the group due to one incremental plant for approximately 3 million euro year on year, because the investment necessary for the new plant in some cases will be offset by some reduction in other plants of the group.
If I may, I would like to know if you can let's be a little bit more specific on the raw material side. If you have to monitor that inflation, is that mainly related to metals, to plastic, or is it labor cost? I mean, is it possible to have a specific idea what are your inflation costs, in particular the gross margin level and in the raw material segment?
Okay, at the time being, I just can disclose that this is an average of all the main raw materials we have. Our investor relator will probably work on some more specific answers to your questions after the call.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next question comes from Mr. Jacopo Maiocchi from Deutsche Bank. Mr. Maiocchi, your question, please.
Yes, just some follow-up. If you can, I remember at the end of full year 11 that North Africa and Middle East were down strongly. What's the situation there? Is it improving or is still very weak? In terms of product category, you didn't mention irons where you were investing in terms of also of new products. So I was wondering how is it going? And if you can give us an update in terms of for Braun, regarding Braun, how the process is going. And the last one, if you are putting in place, in terms of geographical expansion, if you are putting in place some new strategy in order to accelerate your expansion in China and the U.S., which are very small, still very small on your sales generation. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, yes. So with regard to Middle East, last year was very soft, but the sales were soft, particularly in the last 9 months. So the first quarter was okay versus year before. Was we got a deterioration last year after the first 3 months. So you will see that we are now slightly negative, which in reality I think is positive, because there are some underlying developments there that are positive. Because unfortunately we're doing far less in Iran, for instance, due to the political turmoil and the impossibility to make business in international business with Iran now, or difficulty to make business with Iran now, and was an important market and has been offset by nice growth in Saudi Arabia and other markets of the Arabian Peninsula. So this is, I think, good, and is giving us confidence that we should go back to growth in the region in the last 9 months for the year. The second point is about iron. I don't have the exact detail of irons here now, but other product lines which are not, say, coffee, kitchen, food preparation and conditioning and heating are growing at around 8%. At around 8% in the first quarter, so below average, but still positive growth. Third question was about the Braun and development. So we are working now with P&G. We expect our goal was to target a closing by end of June. We have two major things to go through. One is antitrust approval, and we think that we should be in line with this. And the second point we have to go through is World Council approbation from in Germany, and we are working now with the World Council. Actually, it's more PNG now. We will be progressively exposed to the discussions with the World Council over the next weeks. But we're still targeting closing, let's say, as soon as possible, probably in July. But again, we have to go through these approvals, which are not fully in our hands, and we will probably reassess the exact timing in the next, let's say, 30 days, and we'll give you more clear guidance on that. I want to reassure that in the meanwhile, we have an agreement also for with PNG let's say, transition and pre-transition periods, you know, so they will take care of this phase before handing over the business to us. The fourth question is about geographical expansion. It's certainly, I think, is a good question because we are experiencing a very good momentum in many international markets, Eastern Europe, but also Far East Asia Pacific markets. We are now organizing a major De'Longhi conference in Sydney, which will take place in approximately 10 days, where we will put together all the leaders of the all the single countries in the regions to work out a development plan for the region, not just for the year, but let's say for the next 3 years. So it's definitely we have in place. I don't want to call it a change in the strategy, because the group has always had in its strategy the geographic expansion and the growth in emerging markets. But for sure, the results we're getting, the good signs we're getting from the main markets, and also the general market condition, where we see that these markets are definitely more potential than some of the mature markets where we are probably pushing us further in accelerating the growth plan in the region.
And just a follow-up, if I may, regarding Nespresso, I got your launching a new product. I was wondering if it is just distribution or it is produced internally by users like the Lattissima. And always, again, regarding Nespresso, if I'm not wrong, the contract should expire at the end of this year. If you are already in talk for the renewal, if you can give us an update about it. Thank you.
Okay, no, like the new product is a distributed product. And with regards to the contract, I think that we are in the phase of finalizing the new contract very, very quickly.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Luca Bacoccoli from Banca IMI. Mr. Bacoccoli, your question, please.
Yes, thank you. Just a follow-up question on the transportation cost. Can you please tell us what is the incidence on your top line following the spin-off of the professional division, and what was the decline that this cost line experienced during the Q1?
Sorry, only transportation costs?
Yes, please.
You mean inbound or outbound?
Well, both, but I think that the biggest decline was coming from the inbound. Yeah.
Okay, sorry, a second. Okay, Overall, in the quarter, transportation costs went down from approximately 14.4 million to 13.4 million altogether, and despite obviously increased sales and volumes for the group. So the incidence went down on, I think I mentioned before, let me go back to...
Yeah, okay. No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
There are no questions at the moment. Next question comes from Mr. Flavio Cereda from Merrill Lynch. Mr. Cereda, your question, please.
Hi, good afternoon. Just two quick questions, please. Firstly, on Romania, can you give us a sense of when do you think you will actually be able to start manufacturing in the site? Is this something that will happen first half of next year? When are we likely to see a contribution as opposed to just the cost contribution for that? And secondly, on North America, I'm picking up something that was asked earlier. What is your strategy with regards to North America at this time? Because it's relatively small for you. It's growing, but not too much. I'm not clear to what extent you're actually keen on developing your presence in North America, considering also some of the inventory issues that you've had, or if it's a market that you consider a less relevant market, and therefore it's not something that you are interested in spending time and resources on. Thank you.
So first question about Romania. First of all, the investments in equipment that we will make over the next months are now under an evaluation phase from the local authorities, because we have applied for incentives and we are entitled to incentives. So this is probably slowing down a little bit the usual DeLonghi speed in starting a new factory. However, we believe that we should be able to start manufacturing the first products by September. Obviously, we will start at a very low pace, and we don't expect a major impact on our cost of goods sold for, let's say, 2012. But definitely we're targeting start of mass production, let's say, by September. In terms of market development, it's very simple. Yeah, your question is right, in the sense that DeLonghi is experiencing a quite strong growth in many markets, Europe, European markets, Eastern European markets, and also Far East and Asia-Pacific markets. Probably one of the markets where the growth is still, let's say, under potential is the United States. This because coffee is not developing as hoped or as happened in many other markets. The espresso coffee makers, the European style coffee makers, are not yet the most preferred coffee makers that consumers are buying in the stores now. We still see Keurig, which is a black coffee closed system sold in United States, doing better than our fully automatic coffee maker, our traditional coffee maker. But we see some positive signs of success with the new Latissima. The new Latissima has been quite successful at the end of the year last year when it was launched in the beginning, January, February, and March. And now there is ongoing an advertising campaign with Nespresso, where on TV is featured the new Latissima Plus. So we think that now is probably can be a turning moment in the strategy, or not in the strategy, because the strategy has been always in place, hopefully in the results delivered by the strategy, because our strategy is focusing on coffee as a core product, and but the point is that the results that we were a little bit late in coming. On top of that, the other big driver besides coffee for the De'Longhi growth in the other market was Kenwood and the line of Kenwood. We have now put in place a new strategy in the high end, so we are targeting more the high end market with more limited probably number of doors and stores. We have already introduced the range under the Kenwood brand in Canada in the last say quarter of the year, and now we are progressively working on the rollout also in the United States. We will take place mainly in the second half of 2012. But again, the strategy is not very much different from the strategy we have in the other markets. We still have as a strategy to sell high-end European products. The leading products are still coffee and food preparation. The point is that we are a little bit behind because on coffee, although good signs in Latissima, in sales of Latissima, we still see that the most preferred system in the United States is Keurig versus our coffee makers. And in terms of competition, Kenwood is facing a very strong local leader, particularly KitchenAid, and we will see the outcome over the next.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Emmanuel De Figueiredo from LBV Effect Management. Mr. De Figueiredo, your question, please.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions, please. The first one is on the marketing spend. You said that you increased it by 3 million in the first quarter. If you could give some guidance for marketing on a full year basis, particularly relative to last year. And my second question is just a more general one on the currency front. You've moved a lot of your production to Asia. If we continue to see the euro weakening, what will that mean? Thank you.
Okay. In terms of more in detail, advertising spent and promotional spent for the first 3 months were at 24.5 million, more or less, while last year were at about 21 million. So an increase of probably 3 million, or let's say 15%. We had last year spent for the full year at approximately 140 million between the two, let's say advertising and promotional spend. We will now be very careful in the development. Our goal is to spend more, but we will spend more only if we will see the market to develop positively versus last year. So our attention is to control the spend, to continue to invest, and to maintain a ratio fairly in line with the incidents we had last year on total sales. So if we will continue to grow at a rate of probably, we will have a year target of 5%+, we hope we will spend another 5%+ in advertising, but not more than that. In terms of cost of goods sold, the valuation of the euro and impact on our cost of goods sold, we are fully aware of this. We believe that China is still a competitive advantage versus Europe manufacturing. This gap is closing, it's getting less wide, and that's why we have invested in Romania. We have invested in Romania because we think that if the dollar continues to strengthen and the gap of the competitivity of China will become less and less, to manufacture in Europe will be a very important asset. We're investing in a new facility in Romania because we think amongst the European countries, Romania is certainly the most competitive with the lowest cost of labor.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Jacopo Maiocchi from Deutsche Bank. Mr. Maiocchi, your question, please.
Yes, I had a follow-up on Flavio's question about US, USA. Considering what you said, I struggle to understand the point of the distribution of Dolce Gusto, since I believe it will open to you doors like Walmart, and since you told us that you are going to focus only on the high end in the North America with Kenwood, I see very small synergies between the distribution of Dolce Gusto and the launch of Kenwood in the U.S. So if you can specify a bit your strategy there on all the categories. Thank you.
Okay. I don't know if it was, I spoke more about Latissima Plus. Definitely we have Dolce Gusto in the range. I would say that the results of Dolce Gusto, I don't want to jump to conclusions, but probably have not been very strong. I've not been very strong at the end of last year. The agreement with Nestlé was anyhow such that they were distributing directly to Walmart, and we were distributing other type of retailers for Dolce Gusto. So we are selling more to the department stores and the specialty stores. So in reality, our strategy is still more focused on, say, non-mass retailers. Second, I believe that now we're getting, say, the signs or the results are more positive, are definitely more positive on Nespresso, and in particular with Latissima Plus. Also, Nespresso has now decided to invest in TV, also to support Latissima Plus. So we will see, as we speak, there is an advertising campaign on Latissima Plus. So we will see now over the next weeks the results, the commercial results in the stores as well. So so the focus will be more in the high end. Also, Dolce Gusto, in the end, is not a low-end product for North America. And we will focus more on the traditional retail, say, in the traditional De'Longhi customers. Walmart, as mentioned before, is currently served by Dolce Gusto directly, by Nestlé directly.
Okay, much clearer. Thank you.
There are no questions at the moment. Still no more questions.
Okay, there are no more questions. I thank you for attending the De'Longhi conference call for the first quarter. Thank you.
The conference call is over. Thank you for calling.